guys ready to fish now? So who was out there? Anybody in the room was on that video today? Anybody fell in the water? That'd have been me for sure.
You guys are quiet today. Wake up. Look at the person next to you and say, wake up. All right, you're still asleep. Let's get on up and let's worship the Lord. Amen. till I met you.
I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide.
What was it?
It was my turn till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave.
Person next to you, see if they're awake or alive.
Now your mercy has saved my soul.
If you believe that, let's hear you sing this out.
Now your freedom is all that I know. The only new Jesus, when I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness. Glorious day.
Tell me if you relate to this.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Man, let's praise the Lord.
Trust the sweetest spring. rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
Sometimes it has an effect on us. But more importantly, God, there are many of us who are here today that may be going through an inner storm or an outward storm. Help us just to recognize that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And God, may we recognize that when everything else fails, we can hold on to the cornerstone, the rock of Jesus Christ. For that, we give You praise. And Jesus, sweep through this place with Your Holy Spirit. Minister to us. Calm the storm. And let us know that You are Lord of all. In Your name, in the name of the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray and say, amen. All right, everyone, welcome. Say hello to those around you today. And our children, get ahead. All right. Welcome. I want to let you know I'm going to challenge you guys too, because one of the things I said to my daughter the other day, anybody knows Rachel? Rachel likes to sing around the house, doesn't she? And everywhere. And I told her, I said, well, you're going to start doing that at church or else I'm going to call you up front and let you sing. So, and she's ready, aren't you? No. Okay. So, part of the jobs, I was a PK once too, don't feel sorry for her, preacher's kid, so I got embarrassed so she can be embarrassed as well. All right, but Rachel doesn't embarrass easily. So, all right, thank you, Keith. Welcome, glad everyone is here today. We want to welcome Church Online. For those of you who are joining us with Church Online, hello. If you're on vacation, we're envious and we're jealous, but we know that you're going to be back with us very soon. A couple things that we want to mention. If you're visiting, hopefully you received a card. You can fill it out. We have a small gift for you, thanking you for being part of our worship, and we believe that God brought you here. Last week, we talked about divine appointments. Just to let you know, before I left here last week, I prayed. I had to go to Walmart, and I prayed that God would give me divine appointments. It took me like 3 hours to get out of Walmart. So, so if you're in a hurry, you may not want to pray that, just to let you know. We want to go ahead and again, you can look at some of the other information. I do want to mention Right Now Media, and this is why it's very important if you fill out the card and get it in. Right Now Media has so many resources. Our church has underwritten that, and on our anniversary Sunday, we have given that to anyone we have in our church. That we have an email. It's free, and you have all kinds of devotionals, resources, studies. It's great for if you want to do a small group study, and it's there. It's an incredible thing. So Right Now Media, if you don't have that, fill that card out and make sure that we get your information and request to be added to that. You can also see the insert for the emergency responders. We want to go ahead and make sure we have that for our emergency responders that are there, and that will be That's our footprint today, by July 29th, okay, which is getting very close. That's next week. Prayer for Haiti team, we are on the countdown, as you can see there. We're only 2 weeks away. And let you know, everything's calmed down. It's back to normal, which is not normal in many places here, but it's normal. And so we're excited. Those of us who are going, it'll be our last Sunday here before we head out on the 4th to go to Haiti. I'm going to share a couple little things about that in a bit. As part of the message, but they're very excited, and it's been really cool how God has just made things happen. If you missed it, the chains, we're not going to give an update because it's completely paid off, which is amazing. Thank you, and thank everyone who gave to that. That's incredible. You can read the information about Haven's Helping Hands Handyman Ministry. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Dave's going to come and share a little bit about that as part of the service today. Parish Foundation, our next time is the 19th, and you can look at the rest of the information about youth group and other kinds of things. All right, so we want to make sure that there is going to be a prayer that is continual. We want to fill up for people for the whole time. That Joanna Shea, where's Joanna? Joanna's there, and they are getting a prayer wheel. If you're old-fashioned like me, I've been around the church for a while, so that you can be praying for the team and the ministry in Haiti the whole time, all right? And we want to fill that whole time block. So prayer warriors, go ahead. Go ahead and sign up and go ahead and do that, all right? Prayer requests, we have Rachel's asked for prayers for Joseph's surgery on Wednesday, repair a severed tendon that was in the accident in April. You remember that. Joanne, prayers for Ida Onifer, end stage of Alzheimer's. Robin Hildebrand for prayers for Bill Wiggum after surgery, and Bob Fall, who is having hip surgery. Happy 21st birthday to Tyler Chadwick. What time is it? 25? That's what I said, didn't I? No, 25. 25, right? You feel like you're 21, though. Correct. All right, so do I. Joanna asked for prayers for Donnie and Jason to find their way and to get back on the road to recovery. We want to continue that. All right? So we want to lift those and others in your prayers as we continue. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord God, we come to you. Another week has passed, and God, I can tell you that this week I saw your hand in so many different things, and I want to thank you for that hand in the midst of everything. And so, God, as we are here today and we are gathering to connect to you, just minister to us in special ways. We mentioned several announcements and several other ministries, and so, God, just continue. Thank you for putting those in our lap and for giving us
ministry as we go forward and trusting us with that. God, we also recognize that there are several who are facing surgery or post-surgery and those dealing with addiction and loss and end-of-life issues. And God, you know their names. You know who they are. You know where they are in life. And God, the main thing that we pray that they will come to know you if they do not know you. And God, then from there, we just ask that all of us will be your instruments in ministering healing, whether it's emotional, whether it's the medical staff administering physical healing. No matter what it may be, God, as we seek you, we call on the great physician, the healer. We call on the Prince of Peace to bring peace in the midst of turmoil. But ultimately, we call on the name of Jesus, which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. May we exhibit that not only at the end when we give that testimony at the end of the age, but may we live each and every day as a witness and a testimony that you are Lord, Lord of all. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Send your blessing upon the gifts and tithes that we receive at this point. I thank you for the generosity of this church and of the people that you have called to contribute to the greater ministries that we have. I thank you for them. I ask that you anoint them and bless them even more than they already have been. And God, may you find us faithful in doing your ministry here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, from the Message. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted.
All right, great fishing pictures this week, huh? Anybody check them out on Facebook? People have been putting some fishing pictures in there. Some, I think, are a little suspect, I will say that. some people are trying some interesting things, but it's cool. It's been interesting. Hopefully you enjoyed the countdown today with the people messing up fishing. I called it this week and it made it humorous. If you're joining us today, we are in week 3 of our series called Get Fishing. Everybody say, get fishing. There we go. And today we're going to talk about fish wrap. Not the stuff you put fish in. It doesn't have a W. But we're going to talk about talking about this. Our theme verse for this series has been this. We've been talking about Jesus primarily. That's a good thing to talk about in church, right? Talk about Jesus. And it comes from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is calling together his disciples. He's going ahead and he's getting ready to go ahead and form them together. And this is our theme verse. And you can look here. And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother. They were doing what? They were casting nets into the sea. And Matthew wants us to know why. Why are they casting nets into the sea? Because they are? You guys are sharp. There we go. Maybe the first people he wrote it to weren't, so he had to put that in there. So he's casting it into the sea, and he says to his disciples this, follow me and I will make you. Okay, and if you've been here for several weeks or you've been around church for a while, you know the rest of this. But many of us look at this and we start to say, okay, well, what is Jesus going to call us to be? Is he going to call us, follow me and I'll make you holy? How many of you would like to be holier in your life? Okay, you don't want to raise your hand because you're that bad, right? How many of you like to be stronger in life, like deal with things better? Less drama in your life. How many of you would like to be more knowledgeable? A lot of times when you follow people, teachers, you get smarter. So how many people would just like to know more about God and the Bible and things like that? So that might be an area. How many of you would like to be more spiritual? That's a nice term now. You like to just like kind of, you don't walk, you just kind of float and on a cloud and go, ah, and plays next to you. How many of you would like to be a better husband or wife or father or a child, right? My kids can raise their hand. They're great kids. But what does Jesus primarily offer? And this is what Jesus says. He primarily offers it. This is his sales pitch to get people to follow him. He doesn't say, follow me and I'll make you a rabbi. Follow me and I'll do this. What does he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. What we find out here is the lost, that's a church term, the lost are those who are far from God, matter to God. And I don't want to offend you, but I want to tell you something. Those who are far from God actually matter more to God when they're lost than we do. And I'll tell you that because in Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about it. He talks about a lost sheep. How you leave the 99 and you go after the one. How many of you have seen that picture where he's leaning down on a cliff to pick him up? He left the other sheep there. That was a no-no if you're a shepherd. The next thing that we find out is that there's the lost coin, where the woman is searching around for this lost coin all over the place. And when she finds it, she calls everybody. You know, she didn't on the phone. She says, "I found it," you know, and yelled because they didn't have cell phones back then. I know that's hard to believe. But she went ahead and she celebrated because what was lost was found. And it ends with probably one of the most famous stories and probably the best illustrations in Scripture of a story about the love of God that he has for us is the prodigal son or the lost son. That he looks every day for that one who goes away. And he's telling us that they matter to God. They matter to God. First week we did the series, I got very theological. I showed the biblical basis and shared with you how important from a biblical basis this concept is about fishing to God. Last week we talked about some behavioral stuff. And I used the word. Anybody remember the word? Who gets the gold star today? Starts with a W, ends with I's. There you go. You guys are still a little bit slow. Wise, all right? The wise and wisdom. It talked about in Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. It continued on, and the New Testament says, be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Today, we're going to get practical, and I'm going to give you some stuff what to say. Because many of us say, okay, I understand it's important to God. I can see that, you know, the behavioral thing is important, and I need to be wise. But Jack, I'm telling you, if I start speaking, then it's going to get bad because they may convert me because I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. And here's the cool thing. What you think you need to say, you probably don't. Isn't that good? Like, you don't need to know several different things, and it's going to be easier than what you think. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are, everybody say, I am. But you are, I am. What are you? The chosen ones, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. You were chosen by God. You're a priest. Look at the person next to you and say, hello, pastor. Look at the other person said, as your second choice and say, you too, Reverend. All right? You didn't realize that. Wait a second. You say, wait a second, Jack. That's what you do. That's your thing. You have that little R-E-V in front of your name. You have that people call you Pastor Jack or Preacher Cohen, and they have the thing at the end that says M-Div, which means you have a master of divinity, which means you're a divine master. I can't be that way, Jack. And you start to say this. But I'm reading Scripture here, and what does it say? Not just the pastors are to do this, but look around the room. All of us who call on the name of the Lord were chosen by God. What were we chosen by? To be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and to do what? What's that last part? Speak out for who? For him. For him. We are, as it said in another area, God's ambassadors, and that's what we are to do. We are to speak out. Not just live in our lives. Yeah, we need to do that interaction, but we also need to use our mouths for more than other stuff that we use in life. And so what we see here, why do we do that? Here's the next part of this. Why do we speak out for him? To tell others of the night and day difference. I love the message here. The night and day difference he has made for you. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Here's what you don't have to explain the entire Bible. You don't have to explain, as I said, how Noah got all those animals on a boat and what he did with all the stuff, where he held the food and what he did when it came out the back way. You don't have to explain all that stuff. You don't have to explain how the Israelites all of a sudden crossed the Red Sea with Moses just lifting up his hands and they're going across on dry land. Wouldn't it even been a puddle or something? I mean, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to know that stuff. Aren't you glad? You don't need to know anything but the difference God has made in your life. That's your story, and you need to stick to it. What we see here is you come from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So what I want to do today, I want to dig further. I kind of teased you a little bit last week with some of the things, and I want to dig further in some of those areas. So if you have your blank sheet, you can go ahead and fill those in. And here we go. The first thing that we're going to share, everybody ready? Justin was here, he'd give a drum roll. Share the hope we have. Share the hope we have. So basically what you're saying to someone, you don't need to know all the stuff, but you just say, I decided to follow Jesus. Here's why. Okay? And somebody may say, well, what about the Old Testament? There was that guy named, I think his name was Balaam, and he had a donkey that was talking. I've never seen a donkey except for on Shrek, a talking donkey. And you say, well, here's your answer. You ready for this? I don't know about that, but what I do know is I decided to follow Jesus because. Good? Seem easy? All right. See, I'm making it easy for you already. So you might not be sure about that, but I decided to follow Jesus because. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Here we go. What does it say here? Let's take a look. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So the first thing you got to settle before any of this other stuff is that Jesus is your Lord. That you got to say, you are who you say you are. You did what you said you did, and I am going to open my life to you, and I'm going to believe that. So you got to revere him. You're Lord. I get it. Okay, awesome. So in your hearts, do that. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The term answer here actually means a defense. Be prepared to share the defense for the hope that you have. Because you may not be able to give a defense for the donkey talking. You may not be able to give a defense for Noah and all that. You may not know how that all works. You may not know how the earth was created in this 6 days and rested on the seventh and all that stuff. But what you do know is that you have hope in Jesus Christ. I'm preaching better than you're responding again. All right, so what I'm saying is that we have hope. Who has hope in Christ? If you have hope, then you have a testimony. You with me? It doesn't have to be from the alleyway to the kingdom. What it just has to be is that you have hope in Christ Jesus. And guess what? If you've looked around our world lately, we don't have hope. And you have a field of people who need it. And you can share it because you have it. Isn't that cool? Isn't that why Paul said, what I received, I have passed on to you as first importance. In other words, Paul was religious. He had the synagogue. He was a great Jewish guy. He knew it all. He went out and persecuted the church because they were against the religious nature. But what he did not have in his life was hope until he met Jesus. And so we need to have Jesus. We need hope. Continuing on, but do this with gentleness and respect. Don't get into an argument. I remember when my college roommate came home with me one time, and we were in the car, and we had gone out the night, and we were with a friend of mine, and as we were in the car, he said something like he didn't believe in God. And I went ahead and got angry, and we were in like a 45-minute argument where I was basically telling him he was going to hell, and he was an idiot. That is not a very good effective form of evangelism, to let you know. And to let you know, that's also how the church has done it for most of our years. And we wonder why people want nothing to do with us. We say we have hope, but then we beat people over the head with a 50-pound Bible. We've got to do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their behavior. What we need to do, we need to win hearts, not arguments. This verse contains the most of the things that we need to do in this thing. I want everybody to experience, every Christian, to experience the joy of leading, taking part in leading someone to Christ. This is the most joyous thing, besides maybe your one-on-one time with Jesus, that you could ever experience, having someone accept Christ and see the amazing difference that Christ makes in their life. I would love, there used to be that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord, and it all talked about different people who had given their lives to the Lord. And how awesome that in heaven one day, that if many people come up to you, people you may have totally forgotten about, that come up to you and just say, I'm here because of your testimony, because you took time to plant a seed or water it, and God brought it to growth. It is the most joyous thing to journey with someone because it has an eternal significance when people follow Jesus. So there's three parts that I want to share to sharing your story here. Number one is, it's very simple. You got to ask yourself, how I realized I need Christ. In other words, this is the condition that you had in your life before you said, all right, Jesus, I revere you. I recognize that you are Lord. What was my life? What was the condition? So start where you were before Christ. My story is not one that is just, you know, from rags to riches. My story was, I was a preacher's kid, and the moment I was born, I was put in church. I was there probably every Sunday of my life. We went on vacation and went to church. Yeah, that's how churchy we were. We would be in in Fenwick Island, and we'd drive to Roxana across and go to this church, and where the person stood up and said, "Great that we have Reverend Connie Cohey." He messed my dad's name up, you know, a good friend of mine, Connie Cohey. Yeah, really good friend. But we went there, and we went to church, or else then we went a little closer to St. Matthew's by the Sea and some other ones. And so I was in church my whole entire life. I shared with many of you who've been around at the age of five in a Christian coffee house in the 70s, a guy, chalk drawing artist, talk about the wise and foolish builder. And he asked people to raise their hands if they accepted Christ. I did because Jill did, and we were taken everywhere together. And she had told me, "Not you, Jack." And then that week I accepted Christ at the age of five. Did I understand everything? No, not at all. And then you had older people coming up, particularly these older ladies come up hugging you and crying. And I really didn't understand fully, but I knew something went on. But then I grew up with people saying, "You know, I saw a vision of Jesus on your head." Let me tell you, when you're 13, 14 years old, that ain't fun. And they come up to you, "Remember when I saw Jesus on?" "Yeah." You know, and you bolt out the other door. And then you go to high school, and then you start to have Youth Alive weekends where God started to do some other things in my life. But guess what? I did say I was in high school. And I went to Northeast High School. And I had to be cool. And then I went to West Virginia University. Go Mountaineers. All right? And just to let you know, it's not the holiest environment at times. All right? So, and the environments I was in weren't very holy, okay? Just to let you know. And so in that process, I did some struggle. I came home, started going to school here at Cecil, and then God just wrestled with my life. I ended up going back and graduating from West Virginia, and I still had this calling on my life, and I was getting there, but I still was not there. You see, I had the religious nature, and I had experiences, but I didn't have the commitment. Because what I was going to do is the week after I graduated, I found the job I ended up having. That's pretty cool, right? Pay off those school loans, ready to go. And I was ready and I was working. And to let you know, I did a great job. And in 9 months, I was let go during corporate downsizing. Now I got to figure out what I want to do. At the time, I said, "I'm going to do this whole ministry thing on my schedule. God, I hear it. I'm going to put it there." And God just put a stop to my career, my job, a couple months before I was going to get married and say, "You're going to do it now." And through that point, it hadn't all been, you know, daisies and roses. I don't know why I said that. Maybe chocolate. That's even better. But it wasn't all that. I've had my ups and downs. It doesn't mean my life is perfect. What it does mean is I know that some glad morning when this life's over, I'm going to be with the Lord. That's my hope. And that's the hope we need to pass on. You see, in Matthew 7, 21, it says, "Not all who call me Lord will inherit the kingdom of heaven." And many of us may have accepted Christ just to get that ticket punched and get in heaven, because that's the way we portrayed it for years. And he says, "Hey, you're going to come to me, and didn't we do this in your name?" He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's in the Bible. And if that's your plan, you got to have a little wrestling with Jesus right now. Because it's more than just that. And you're denying yourself of the goodness of God. So that's the first thing. How did I recognize I need Christ? Next one, how I committed my life to Christ. What I did to follow up. Don't tell somebody what they need to do. Tell them how you did. Mine is a process. Yeah, I accepted the Lord at five and sinner's prayer and then recommitted my life. That's a churchy term that we say when we really backslid and we want to get back right. I recommitted my life to Christ. In other words, that means you weren't committing for a while, right? And then we say, "Oh, and then I received the call," and then we do this. We have our churchy terms, but share your process. Because we like immediacy. We don't know something, we Google it, don't we? And then we act like we know it. How many of you ever Googled something and act like you know it? Somebody will call me because I'm a preacher, and they'll say, "Do you know what that verse is?" And then I go, "Yeah, hold on a second." I'm like, "Google, you version. It says this." And they're like, "Oh, wow, he's smart." No, it's called Google. All right. Told you I'm not perfect. So how did you commit your life to Christ? For some of you, it may have been a sinner's prayer. For some of you, it may have been just simply as the song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." Maybe that's your story. Share how you committed your life to Christ and said, "This is what I'm going to do." And here's the best part. The best part is this: the difference it has made in my life. As I said, we're not perfect. I get down, I get depressed, I get upset, I mess up. But I do have that incredible hope. Jesus never promised that life would be perfect. But there is something that I have that nothing can take away from. That's our hope in him. Many people just need hope in this world. I can't tell you the times that I've done funerals over the years, and at this point it's been hundreds or thousands of people. One year when I was in Lewis, I did 45 funerals. People were calling me the minister of death. But I can't tell you the number of people that I've come in contact with in my life who, when they are standing at the graveside or when they're in the funeral home, it is so final for them because they have no hope. No hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, there's hope. I wish you had the hope I do. And guess what? If you say, I wish you had the hope I do, you know what somebody's going to say? What is that hope? Let Jesus lead you. Number two, here we go. Share my church. God gave me this name, Haven, when I was on a lawnmower a year and a half before I went ahead and did this. And what I have always wanted this place to be, what I feel God has wanted this place to be, and I'm going to be honest and say there were blips along the way. I had a desire for this place to be people, for people who need a safe place to connect to God. Safe place. Figure it out. Because guess what? Your sin, we all got it. We all are wrestling with it. Jesus paid the price for every single bit of it. Let him figure that out with you, and we'll help you in those areas. But I want to tell you something. I want this to be a place where believers and non-believers can come together and figure it out together. I think that, I got to tell you, by being raised in the church for my whole entire life, there are things that are done at times that affect my churchiness. Anybody with me? Anybody raised in a church where something happens? Like you get a little in your church part of your, you know, that ain't churchy. And you know what God's telling me more and more? Yeah, it ain't churchy. That's awesome. The church is awesome, but we can't forget our first call is to fish. And so have you ever been fishing and you take the fish off the hook, you kind of stink a little bit, don't you? Fish don't smell too good. There's no perfume that says ode to fish, right? Ode to salmon, right? Nobody, there is none, because you know why? Fish stink. And guess what? You and I both stink too. It's only by the grace of God that we're cleaned up. Don't forget our stink. Don't forget our stink. And don't, sometimes in order to get where the fish are, like I said last week, you can't fish from the couch. You also don't smell like you're going to a ball when you go ahead and you just got a shower when you're messing with fish. It's okay that we need to examine ourselves. This needs to be a place for believers and unbelievers to have a safe place. And we need more and more ministries. Reason why? Because there's such a great need in our world today. I have heard in church life for years, I don't like that, or the big one, we've never done it that way. Hallelujah. Right? Because guess what? In most of the church universal, we are not sharing the grace and the hope in the way that Jesus Christ needs it. If people really captured the hope that Christ has, we would have a standing room only around our block. Do you think there's issues in our community? Do you think there's people outside of these walls that need the hope of Jesus Christ? I'm sure many of you deal with them day in and day out. They need Jesus Christ. When's the last time you shared the difference he's made in your life? And if you're struggling with the difference he's made in your life, maybe you need to go ahead and check with Jesus about where he is in your life. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23 in the Living Bible, Jesus said this, and here's what he said. Go into the country and urge anyone you find to come in, that my house may be what? Full. In other words, Jesus said, get out, go, fill them up. Don't clean them up first. Bring them in and let me clean them up. Next one. Here we go. How do we do that? Here's what we need to do. We need to pray for them. Remember last week I talked about your list? I hope you made a list. I hope you made a list, no more than 10, and make a list of those people who are far from God that you are committing to say, God, I want to be in the midst of their lives. I want to be there for them. And summer, it's really important. That summer is those times that, you know, Some of us may not see people that we usually do because it's a time where we're out and about and we're recreation and all that kind of stuff and we're doing lots of things. But it seems like at the further we get into the fall, and by the time we hit the new year and go, it tends to be a lot of people are hungry for Jesus Christ. Or even, you know, I got to love New Year's resolutions. Hey, I'm going to really make it to church 52 weeks a year. All right, I'm going to go ahead and do that stuff. And we've got to be ready to give hope. We're going to start in the fall. We're going to have our church-wide small group study that I'm going to preach about. We're going to do that. I want to see more small groups than we ever could have, because guess what? You are in areas that I cannot be. And your areas where our small groups cannot be. You know what? Invite people who are far from God. This is the coolest experience ever. Invite people who are far from God to be there. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for those people on your list. Pray for them on your list. In 2 Corinthians, verse 4, it's not up here, but it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. In other words, there is a blinder over them. You need to pray that God will remove that blinder so people can see Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for them. Next thing, show them you care. Show them you care. Before you invite, you got to show people that you care. In other words, we talked a little bit about this last week. Look for a way to solve problems. That's why we invest in several things. We invest in things like Monarch House Parish Foundation, Emergency Rotating Shelter, Miriam's Table, Narcan Training, Christmas in April, Community Kitchen, the Baby Bottle Drive for the Pregnancy Center, our Haiti churches and missions, Cecil County Recovery Walk, Operation Christmas Child, Thanksgiving Bags, Stockings for Soldiers, Shop with a Cop, Angel Tree, and more and more and more. We don't do that to say, look at what we do. We don't carry a banner and say, look how awesome Haven is. We do it to show people we care and that we love them. It's incredible. Dave, I'm going to ask you to come up now. Dave felt a call to God, and this is really cool, and we were going to do it as an announcement. I said, no, you're going to do it in the middle of the sermon because I think it works great. So here you go, Dave. Take it away.
Yeah. Lucky me, right? Yeah. So for those who don't know me, my name is Dave Hollis. I've been down here for about 13 years now teaching at Perryville High School. Years ago, I took over the construction program there, and I started out basically I wanted to do something realistic, and I started having my kids build sheds. You know, learn those hands-on skills. And one thing I really found out was kids are brutally honest. I found out through the kids and just in talking with them that there was a huge need in this area for basic needs, and one of them being shelter. There is one, oh gosh, probably my third year teaching, one kid that really weighed on my mind, and the story behind him was he lived in a single-wide trailer, and only had mom at home, but mom had to work so much she really wasn't there. Well, they had a leaky roof in this trailer, and it literally leaked for years. They couldn't afford anybody to come out and fix it, so, you know, there it leaked in their kitchen to the point where it rotted the kitchen floor, and literally they stepped on it one day, hole in the kitchen floor. They weren't able to fix that because, again, financially they just couldn't do it, and they didn't have the knowledge or know how to do it, so every day he would come in, and he'd come in such a nice kid. He'd be like, how you doing, Mr. Hollis? It's good to see you. Nice to be here. And he would stay after, and he'd be like, you know, can you show me how to do this? Can you show me how to do that? I'm like, oh, well, maybe this kid wants to be a contractor. That's cool. Nope. It was that basic need. He needed shelter. He wanted to fix that hole. He wanted to fix that roof. And he was able to gain that knowledge through the program that I taught. But, you know, I let him borrow personal tools. And I told him that, you know, if he got hurt, they were his tools because, you know, liability issues. But basically, from then on, I'm thinking, hey, we really have this need in the community, and I want to do something about it. But I can't do it by myself. And Bob Hoffman, Bob, can you stand for a second? So Bob has done a great job for the last few years here running Christmas in April. And that's one of the programs that I got involved with my prior church. And again, that program is fantastic. And so I want to do something a little bit more personal here at Haven and start basically a Christmas in April for all year round. If somebody has a need in regards to like a home repair, we want to be able to take care of it for them. And so that's why I'm up here. In related to Jack's sermon, I'm here fishing for people. All right, and I'm really hoping I'm going to bait some people in here. And so what you're going to find out here in just a second is I have some clipboards up front here. And just like Christmas in April, you know, if you have that need to serve, if you can offer, you know, maybe one day every other month or something. You know, maybe not even that much. But if you can offer any time at all, if you have any skills that you can offer, or I know some people are saying, well, you know, I'm not that handy. Well, trust me, even just being a laborer, someone to hold something, maybe, you know, holding up a pole, building a handicap ramp for somebody, laborers are valuable too. So we could definitely use skilled and unskilled labor. But the goal here, and just like your bulletin says, our goal is to be able to rehabilitate homes for low-income, elderly, and disabled homeowners so they can live in warmth, safety, and independence, and know God's love. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of change that negative perspective some people think of as, you know, churchy people, and really go out there and show, hey, you know, we love our neighbors. We want to be able to help you guys. And so that's where I'm hoping that we can go ahead and get some volunteers here so we can put this program into action and go and help the people who really need it out there. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
That is God's call on some people or people's lives in action, telling people to meet their need. We can't tell them about Jesus if there's a hole in the roof and say, hey, Jesus loves you, and they're dealing with that. But when you have people that come together and take care of their need first, I guarantee you they're going to say, now I have hope. Now I have some hope. It's so awesome that we see this, because there's a couple questions that everybody wants to know. There's a couple questions that everyone needs to know. Can you help me? Can you help me? I don't care about your worship services. I don't care about your worship team. I don't care about your Sunday school. Can you help me? Can you help me in my finances? Can you help me in my addiction? Can you help me in my rent? Can you help me? We need to help meet the needs and journey with someone, not a sprint. We like sprints right away. Great small groups, but we need more to meet those needs. Next thing is, do you care about me? I think this is the greatest question that somebody ever asked. Do you care about me? And guess what? I can say yes, but I'm proved more by my actions. So, like Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You tell how much you love God by how you love your neighbor. It's the action. And last thing, here's a big one. Can I trust you? Can I trust you? If you want to ruin somebody for God, ruin trust. Destroy their trust. First Corinthians tells us that to do everything that's right in the eyes of God and man. Because trust gains heart. Building trust is an important thing. I just got a video real quickly, okay, from Pastor Oog yesterday. I just want to share that with you to show you what you did by loving these people in Haiti, our brothers.
Hello, everybody. Today, we want to concrete inside the church. We say to you, thank you a lot to contribute to concrete my church, my community, church, and I say to you, thank you a lot to give us money to do anything, to continue with the work in my church, especially my community. But we have no words to tell you about anything you are doing for us. We will continue to pray for you because you are doing a lot of things for my community. You will see women preparing food for my for my team. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, women, and men in others' country to contribute, to do anything. This is the place we will prepare to do other things in the few days. May God bless you and continues to bless you.
That wasn't possible a year ago. Wasn't possible a year ago, but you told them you care. And you tell them every time, every month that you care. And you're making an incredible difference for the kingdom. Next thing, invite them to join me in a service. at a service. Invite them to join you. Don't just say, hey, here are the dates, time. Hopefully you'll see there. Go get them. Tell them to come sit with you. Have fun with them. We live in a time of a post-Christian time in America where they say 80% of the people who don't go to church never will. 80% never will. So we need to know how. So how, and if you'll give me just a couple minutes here, we need to know how to do this. Share Christ. We need to share Christ. There are two things that we need to know about this is, number one, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And someone would say, but what about, you know, I don't know about what about, but what I do know is God loves you. He loves you so much he sent his son Jesus to die and on the cross for you. He loves you so much. We are all on a spiritual journey, and we're all in this area. But what I do know is God loves you. God loves you. All I know is God loves you. Look at what it says here. The second thing is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So here's the other thing. I know God loves you, but what about, I don't know about what about, but what I know God loves you, and I know that there is a devil, and his name is Satan, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to completely destroy you. God wants to bring fulfillment to your life. That's what I know. Well, what about the plagues? And I don't know about all that. What I do know is God loves you. God loves you and has a plan for your life. That's what I know. That's all I know. There are three parts to this salvation story. I'm going to hit these very quickly. So put on your seatbelt. Here we go. There's a problem. We all have a problem. What is it? It's a little word that we call sin that carries a lot of weight. And what does it say here in Romans chapter 3? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we have all messed up, and we've got to deal with the sin issue. So how do we deal with the sin issue? If all of us have sinned and that's a problem, how do we deal with it? Well, you deal with it by paying for it. And so what's the payment for sin? Okay, let's go a little bit further, a couple chapters later. For the wages of sin is death. So if you want to pay for sin, you got to die. Okay, that doesn't sound good. Okay, but wait, death has to pay for sin, and I want to see God. In order to see God, I got to die. I mean, in order to go to be with God, I got to die. But if I don't have that paid for, then I don't get to see God. It's a pretty hopeless predicament, and that's why the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The eternal gift is Jesus, and that's our solution. The next thing, our solution is this. Sin separated us from God, but Jesus connected us. Here's the solution. What does it say here? God demonstrates his own love toward us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, while we owed that debt, Jesus paid the price. Anybody ever had anybody pay a bill for you? Anybody gone through back before you had Easy Pass and just zipped through? Anybody ever paid the toll for you? And you're like, you ever see people like you go through a drive-thru and you pay for them behind you and they're like, what the? Somebody's nice? Just imagine if you the greatest debt that could ever owe that somebody paid for you, and not just somebody, his name is Jesus. You see, that is why there is no other religion that offers this possibility. That is why Jesus is the only way to the Father. I know that's not very PC, but we've been PCing people into hell for many years. What we have, Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, everybody say no one, comes to the Father except through me. He is the only one. That's why. He's the only one that, because he didn't have to pay his own bill, he could pay ours. He's sinless. That's why in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which he must be saved. See, there's a problem and there's a solution. You can share that with people. And so here's the cool part. I'm not going to give you the last one because you'll pack up. Melinda, I want you to jump to the scripture verse. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans chapter 10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess and believe. Believe and accept. What is this one? It's the response. The response. It takes a response. And that's why Jesus says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come to him. Several years ago, two accounts happened that had to do with two of my children. One was Hannah. She was a baby. And some of you have heard this story before, but I think there's a point in this. She was a baby, and she was in the car seat. We had this really dumb dog that nobody really liked, and it was very dumb. And it got out. Melissa grabbed it, had the car started, pulled it in, took the dog inside. My parents were inside, and I was on my way home, and she came back out, and the van was gone. She looked around, couldn't find it. Time out there, okay? Another case, Judah was really, really little. I was leaving to go somewhere, and Melissa was dealing with the other kids for a second, and Judah was really little, and she looked and he was gone. Now, just to know that we aren't the only horrible parents, who else has lost their kids? Okay, there you go. Misery loves company. At those moments, when Hannah was missing with the van and Judah was missing, I did not care, neither did Melissa, about the needs or the wants or if I had four others and said 80% ain't bad. Right? All I wanted at that time is to find my lost child. Hannah went for a ride down in the woods, and you could only see the back of the van. That door still doesn't work because Melissa turned into the Incredible Hulk and ripped the door off and got her out. Because when your child's lost, you will do anything to find them. If they had come up to me and said, what are we having for dinner? I'd say, you keep it up. You're not having anything for any more dinners, right? I don't want to hear a word you have to say. My child is lost, and I need to find her. Or my son is lost, and he went down the road. He was looking for me. You see, there are people who are lost out there looking for their daddy, and we're too busy finding out where we're going to fix for dinner. And we need to get fishing where they are. We need to meet their needs. We need to love them. We need to invite them. And we need to be the church that Jesus Christ called us from the very first point that he called his disciples. Anybody with me? We need to get fishing more than ever before. Now, I was going to be done with a series at this point, but God's given me one more week. All right? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up today. And I want you to stand. And I want you to think right now, who are those people on your list? Who are those that you need to reach out to? Who are those? You feel better about sharing? Anybody feel better about rapping, fish rap? Anybody feel a little more comfortable? Practice these things. Practice these things. Realize your need for Christ. Realize how you committed your life to Christ and the difference Jesus has made. And be ready to give them the hope for which you stand. They're going to get into all the other stuff. Say, I don't know about that. It's okay. Everybody say, I don't know. I don't know, but what I do know is I know that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Isn't that simple? And then journey with him. Journey with him. Journey with him. All right, let's pray. Lord God, I just come to you today, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for causing us as the body of Christ to refocus on what you've called us to do. I thank you for the 80% people that don't go to church now, that the world says never will, that God, I pray that as we go out to the ponds and the highways and the byways and all those things, that as we fish, that God, I pray that everybody here has someone or someone's on their list that is far from you, that you are like Melissa and I were when we lost Hannah and when we couldn't find Judah, that we're just looking, that they're looking for their daddy. They're wandering down the road looking for their daddy, that God, we may go to them, we may go to them. Judah was never going to come back to the house looking for me. He saw his daddy head out. And so God, as we are here today, I want each of us to lift up one name in our hearts and in our minds. That God, we may go ahead and take 50 weeks out of the year for us, but we may take 2 weeks and just say, that's for me to have someone who is far from you sitting right next to me. And I guarantee it'll be the greatest service of your life. So God, hear us in our hearts. If there's people here who've never have come to that resolve and revered you as Lord and come to the point and say, yeah, you are the Christ. And there's only one way, and it's through you. And I believe that you love me, and I need to experience that. God, just minister to their hearts today. Where they are, they just say, here I am. Here I am. Take this. If that's where you are with, you know, every, you know, like the churchy term, eyes closed and heads bowed or whatever you are. God, if that's just you and you need to go ahead and you need to experience the love of God and you need to go ahead and recognize that he has a plan for your life and you really need to experience that, just lift your hand right where you are. And go ahead and say, Lord, thank you. So God, during the remainder of this time together, I thank you for these people and everyone who's here and the sound of my voice. Help us find our way to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
You, we adore. church lifted up. I'm waiting here for you.
Everybody good? That's pretty lame. Okay, there we go. Somebody's great. All right, so we're good. I hope that you all survive the rain, that everything's coming down, because it makes everybody a little, right? So what I want you to do before you leave here, okay, we're going to see next week. We're going to finish the series, Fish Fanatic. Fanatics, we're going to do that. But before you leave here, I want you to look at somebody and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Okay, just going to say it just like that. And then say, I hope you're glad I'm here too. All right? That's what you got to say, or we're not going to let you out of here. All right, have a great week.